can stand up, too. Oh,
all right.
All right. Hi again. Sorry, I'm back there doing the video at the moment, and the reason it keeps freezing like that is because the mouse's battery has died. Yeah, we can all have a moment of pause and reflection for the fact that the battery died in the mouse. Anyway, it's rechargeable. All right, just replace the batteries, but you don't need to know that. Anyway, what you do need to know is that we have Reverend David Muir here this morning speaking to us while Pastor's away on vacation. And so it is an honor and a privilege. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Officially welcome you.
Okay.
And hopefully the battery is charging back there at the moment. What? Children's Church. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yes, go back, see Mrs. Stapleton. Back there. That's good. It's another couple seconds for the battery to be charging in the mouse, because that way maybe we can get through your PowerPoint presentation.
All right.
Anyway, we'll make it happen one way or another.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning. Boy, those lights are bright. I see everybody's got a good seat in the back, except for these folks right here, the courageous ones sitting towards the front here. It is good to be with you this morning. I live in Cranberry, and my GPS, you know, it's always an adventure going by the GPS. And it brought me away this morning that, let's just say, I'd never been on those roads before. But I made it, and I'm glad to be with you here today. I know when I was pastoring, for many years, I took the week off right after Christmas because it seemed like a good time to take a break and get away. So I can identify with your pastor taking some time off after all the holiday activity and so forth. And I thank you for coming, because I also know that when the pastor's away, the people, you know, sometimes do other things. So thank you for coming and being part of the service today. Let me just lead us in a word of prayer before we look into the Word. Father, we come before you just now, and as we look into the Word, I ask that you would speak to us through it. We know you're here with us. We claim that promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, and we thank you for the worship music that has set the tone. And now as we look into the Word, just speak to us through it. Give us ears to hear your voice. And I pray that it would be not my voice that's heard, but your voice speaking through me. So, Lord, just encourage us and help us to see the truth that you want us to see and understand and apply in these next moments. So we commit this time to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, when I was in high school, which was many years ago, I had a job working in a local dairy. And one summer, I worked after school during the school year, but then I worked during the summer. And one summer, our boss gave me and another fellow the job of sprucing up the building by painting everything in sight. We painted inside, we painted outside, we even painted the backside of the building that nobody could see. And we were out there, you know, painting the cement block wall. It's like, nobody even sees this. Why are we doing this? But anyway, that's what we did. And by the end of the summer, I was so sick of painting that literally it was years before I could stand the thought of holding a paintbrush again. Well, this one day, we were painting one of the rooms inside the dairy, and we had put up a scaffold to reach the higher parts of the walls. But because there was equipment right next to the wall, we couldn't get the scaffold close enough to be able to you know, reach the upper parts. So we had the ingenious idea to run some planks from the scaffold over to some pipes that ran along the wall. And so by putting one end of the planks on the scaffold and the other end of the planks on these pipes, we were able to, you know, walk out over the edge of the scaffold and, you know, be over the equipment and reach the wall quite easily. It was a little precarious, but the pipes anchored the end of the platform, and it worked quite well. Well, at the end of the day, we were getting ready to clean up and to put everything away. And I was up on the scaffold, and I walked out over the edge of the scaffold itself onto the planks, just like we had been doing all day. Unfortunately, I forgot that we had moved the scaffold and had not re-anchored those planks on the pipes. And so when I walked out over the edge of the scaffold, that plank started to tip and go down. And when I realized what was happening, with lightning quick reflexes, I stepped over to the plank next to it. But unfortunately, that one wasn't anchored on the pipes either. And so that board gave way, started going down. And for a moment, I felt like Wile E. Coyote in those Roadrunner cartoons, you know, where he's suspended in midair. Uh-oh, that's how I felt. Well, the boards and I came crashing down. I landed on my back on an air compressor, slid off onto the floor, and I just felt like my whole body had been deflated, like just the air had gone out. And I was just laying there. I couldn't move. I couldn't even yell for help. Fortunately, people heard the racket of everything coming crashing down, and they came running over to help me. The long and short of it is that I ended up spending the night in the hospital for observation, but I had no broken bones, just bruises, and was sore for quite a while after that that little incident. But here's the thing. Here's the reason I tell you that story. As long as those planks were anchored along the wall, everything was fine. It was stable, and we were able to do our work. But once they came loose and were no longer anchored on those pipes, when I put my weight on it, the whole thing came crashing down. And it's kind of an illustration of the fact that as we go through life, it's important to be anchored. Because there will be times when it seems like our world is crashing down around us. I don't know if you can identify with that feeling. I certainly can, and I suspect many of you can too. Maybe you're dealing with situations at work, problems at work, difficulties at home, within the family, children, grandchildren, even parents. I work in hospice. I'm a hospice chaplain these days. And so we're dealing with a lot of families whose concern is their parents and taking care of their parents and all that and all kinds of family issues that arise in those kinds of situations. Maybe you deal with financial stress, health issues, car malfunctions, computer crashes. You know, the list goes on and on. Maybe all of the above we have to deal with at one time or another. And it truly can feel like things are spiraling out of control. Well, in the psalm that I'd like to look at today, we see that the psalmist understands that feeling. And so, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we're also going to put it up on the screen here. Psalm 46 is what we're going to look at today. It's one of my favorite psalms. And there we go. Psalm 46, starting with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What we see right here in these first three verses, it's a world that's in turmoil. Things are falling apart. The earth is giving way. The mountains are falling into the sea. The waters are roaring and foaming. It's a world in turmoil. Things are out of control. But he goes on. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. There it is again, the world in turmoil. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I really want to focus on the first part of this psalm because I think it's very common for us as human beings in our human nature that when our world does seem to be falling apart, our reaction may very well be to kind of look up to the Lord and wonder, hey, Lord, what's the deal? What's going on here? Why are you letting all this happen to me? What did I do to deserve all these trials and tribulations, this turmoil in my life? And it's at times like this that we need something to anchor us, something to bring stability and security when everything seems to be so shaky and uncertain. And you know, the truth is that sometimes things can happen that will even rock the faith of people who have been believers for a long time, let alone the faith of someone who is new in their faith in Christ and their walk with him. But in the midst of the trials of life, and we all go through them, when things seem to be collapsing around us, Psalm 46 teaches three truths that I want to focus on this morning. Three truths that can anchor our faith during the times of storm that we encounter. So, and we see these basic truths in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So let's look at it one by one. First of all, God is our refuge. You know, refuge is simply a place where you can find shelter. It's a place where we can find peace and protection in the midst of the storm. Now, so far, this winter, which really just started a few days ago, officially, but the winter so far has not seemed very much like winter, has it? I mean, we've had temperatures in the 50s and, you know, a lot of rain. But they're not all like this one, are they? And one of the challenges of living in Western Pennsylvania is just trying to get home if you happen to be out in one of the storms that that we get once in a while. And with all the hills and curves, it can be a challenge. I remember a number of years ago trying to get home during one of those storms. I was driving on Route 376 out by the airport. We lived in Beaver County at the time. And it was snowing, so it was at night, it was dark. So it was snowing so hard that you couldn't see more than 20, 25 feet in front of you. You couldn't see the road. I mean, the road's snow-covered. You couldn't see the lines. Certainly couldn't see the lines on the road or even the edges. It was very treacherous driving. About all you could do is follow the tracks of the car in front of you and hope they didn't lead you into a ditch somewhere. And even trying to follow the car in front of you, you could barely make out the taillights. And you just hope that you don't have to stop because you're afraid you won't be able to stop. It's so slippery, you won't be able to stop. And if you do get stopped, then you won't be able to get started again because of the ice. So it was a nerve-wracking, downright scary drive to try and get home that evening. And to pull into my driveway and into the garage was a huge relief. And it was like, I mean, literally, I made it. It was a great feeling to get home to a place of warmth and safety out of the storm, to get home to that place of refuge. And I was very happy to have a place of refuge in the midst of that storm. Now, the psalmist tells us that when the storms of life rage around us, the Lord himself is our refuge. We can go to him for a place of safety and protection. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. When the storm is beating you down, come to me, and I will give you rest." Because he is our refuge. Now, one thing to keep in mind about a place of refuge is that just because you enter that place of safety and protection does not mean that the storm ends. It just means that you have a place of shelter while that storm is going on. And when we say that the Lord is our refuge, it doesn't mean that when we seek shelter in him that the storms of life will just go away. What it means, though, is that he will provide a place of peace and protection for however long that storm may last. So, as the psalmist says, the Lord himself is our refuge. So may we truly find in him the refuge that we seek. The next thing we see in Psalm 46 here is that God is our strength. By his Spirit within us, he empowers us and strengthens us to deal with the storms that come upon us. I don't know, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you thought, you know, I can't take one more thing? The circumstances, things keep happening, and it's like, I can't take this anymore. I can't take one more thing to happen. And you get to that point where the trial that you're going through, it seems so severe, so upsetting, and the situation feels so desperate that you kind of feel like you're hanging onto a branch over the edge of a cliff. and your fingers keep slipping. You feel like you're losing your grip and you can't hang on. But you see, that's when the Lord gives us strength to hold on. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, is when Paul was complaining to the Lord about his thorn in the flesh and asking him to take it away. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It's when we are weak that he is strong. And it's by his strength that we can hang on. It's in those times when we feel weak and tired and weary that the Lord's strength will carry us through. Now, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard someone say who has gone through a time of personal trauma or tragedy, say, "I don't know how I'd have gone through this if it wasn't for the Lord." You know, what a testimony that is. "I don't know how I'd have gotten through this if it wasn't for the Lord." And I can't explain how that works. I can't explain the mechanics of how the Lord imparts his strength to us in those times and in those situations. But the fact is, we can count on the promise of God that in those times when we most need it, the Lord is our strength. And we trust him each day for strength for that day to deal with whatever it is we're facing. The third thing we see here in Psalm 46 is that God is an ever-present help. You know, if you were to call 911 and report that someone in your family was having a heart attack and you needed them to come and send help immediately, what would you think if the response you got was from the dispatcher said, "Well, you know, we're pretty busy right now. I think we could fit you in, say, tomorrow morning about 10:30. How would that be?" Would you accept that? You think, "You got to be kidding." That's not acceptable. You don't need the help tomorrow. You need it right here, right now. And the promise of God is that he is an ever-present help in time of need. And he's always there when we seek him. You know, we don't have to notify him of our need through the mail. We don't have to send him a letter. We don't have to send him an email to bring him up to date. We don't need to place a phone call or a text message or a tweet. We don't have to wait for him to finish what he's doing so that he can respond to us. We don't have to wait for him to get free of whatever is occupying him right now so that he can show up for us. He's an ever-present help. That means right here, right now. But you know, again, human nature being what it is, sometimes people wonder about that. They wonder if he really is there. They have doubts, questions. Well, picture this. Picture a father teaching his young son or daughter how to ride a bike. I have three boys, and I went through this with all of them, teaching them to ride a bike. And if you can picture this, the child is on the bike, you know, holding onto the handlebars, pedaling away. But does the father just give the kid a push down the sidewalk and say, go for it? Is that how it works? You act like you've never done that before. Come on. Is that how it works? No, it does not work that way. The way it works is the father will get the child on the bike, get him all situated, and he'll get the kid started, and he'll hold on to the seat, right? Run alongside, hold on to the seat so that he can help the child get that sense of keeping balance. And if he starts to tip over, he can catch him and he can start over again. And they'll go that way for a little while. He'll hold on to the bike till the kid gets the hang of it. Now, at some point, he's going to let go. Be going along, he'll take his hand off. But does he stop? No. He might take his hand off the seat, but he's going to keep running alongside so that he's there if the child loses balance and starts to fall. And that moment right there, where the father's running along beside, that's a snapshot, I think, of how God is with us. Because we may be going through life pedaling away, hanging on to the handlebars for dear life, pedaling away, trying to keep our balance, trying to just keep going and get through. And we may feel like we're alone. We may feel like we're on our own in this journey. But if we look around, we're not alone, because the Father is right there running along beside us to be there for us, to hold us, to catch us if we fall. The Lord has promised in His Word that will never leave you or forsake us. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Now, one thing about human nature is that we like to be in control. Have you ever noticed that? Anybody here like to be in control? Thank you for being honest. The rest of you are liars. Because we all like to be in control. We like to be in control of the circumstances and the events of our life, so that things will go the way we want them to go, right? But the fact is that there is so much of life that is just not under our control. We might want to be in control, we can try to be in control, but so many things we do not control. You know, I look back over the last few years, and there are things that have happened to me and my family that we just never imagined. We had no clue. We had no inkling of some of the things that were going to come down the road to us. And I have a feeling that it's been the same way for most, if not all, of you, too. You can look back over the years and things you never knew, never imagined. And now today, December 29th, we stand on the threshold of a new year. This year's gone fast, hasn't it? It seems like they go faster. The years go faster. And I've heard that as you get older, not to mention any names or anything, but it seems like the years go by. Time speeds up. And I'm there. We stand on the threshold of a new year, 2020. And I dare say that as we look ahead, there are no doubt things that are going to happen right now for all of us that we have no idea of what's coming. No clue of what this new year will hold. I mean, for me, I just think back just this past year, December 29th, 1 year ago today, I could have never predicted, never imagined some of the things that happened to me and my family in this past year. And that's the way it will be for all of us. And it could well be something great that brings great joy and excitement to your life. It may also be a trial, a storm that will rock your world. And as we all face this kind of uncertainty in life, that's why we need an anchor. This is why we need an anchor, something to hold on to, something to hold us firm, something to hold us steady as we encounter the uncertainties that life brings to us. And if you're feeling battered and beaten down, weary and worn out from one of life's storms that has come against you, and if you find yourself in a position where you're wondering how much longer you can hang on, I pray that you will experience the truth of this psalm that we've been looking at, and that you will experience the fact that God is your refuge and strength and ever-present help in your time of need. And that you will find that when you put yourself in his hands, the anchor holds. I'd like to close with a song this morning. Oh, you took the microphone. Thank you. I'd like to close with a song that's called The Anchor Holds. This is a song that meant a great deal to me when I was going through a storm that did rock my world a number of years ago. And I just want to say, I'm no threat to be on American Idol. So I hope you can get past The Voice and allow the message of this song to speak to your heart. And I hope it will be an encouragement to you.
Journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith. Sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. The anchor holds. In spite of the storm, I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've even held them in my hand. But I never knew they would slip right through like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved his love to me. Holds, though the ship's been battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of the psalm that we have looked at this morning, and the fact that you are our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Lord, I pray that in this coming year, for whatever it holds for us, the good, the bad, the ugly, that we might indeed find that our faith is anchored in you, and that in you we will find the stability that we need to deal with the uncertainty, the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride that 2020 is sure to be. I pray that we may go from here with just a renewed sense of gratefulness for the promise of this song. Lord, give us strength to hang on to you for whatever this new year may bring. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would please rise and join us in our closing song of worship together.
This time to be together. May we go from here with a sense of your presence. Lord, I pray that you would help us to let our light shine to the world around us. May it be your light shining through us. And may we represent you well to those that we encounter in this coming week. May we go in the power of your Spirit with your blessing. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.